It made national headlines when it was announced that Ric Flair would be returning to the ring for one last match. And the story that unfolds leading up to that match will be told every Monday this month at 6:05 Eastern. We invite you to come along and witness the Nature Boy's path back to the ring for his last match. The behind-the-scenes discussions, the workouts, the promotion, the ups and downs, the blood, sweat, and tears, which will all culminate on Sunday, July 31st at the Nashville Municipal Auditorium when Ric Flair will step through those ropes and enter a JCP ring for one last match. Mondays, 6:05 Eastern, RicFlair'sLastMatch.com.
If you could change one thing about your home, what would it be? A new kitchen, a new master bath, maybe put in a pool. What if you could do it with no money out of pocket and cheaper monthly payments? SaveWithConrad.com can help, and you can even skip your next two house payments. NMLS number 65084, Equal Housing Lender, SaveWithConrad.com.
Jim Crockett Promotions presents Ric Flair's Last Match, July 31st at the Nashville Municipal Auditorium. StarCast Weekend in Nashville, bringing wrestling companies together for one of the most unique cards ever assembled. Main evented by Ric Flair's Last Match. Tickets are on sale right now at RicFlair'sLastMatch.com. And you can catch the show live streaming on pay-per-view and Fight TV for only $34.99. Ric Flair's Last Match. Walk in that aisle one more time for the last time. StarCast is presented in part by ProWrestlingTees.com. T-shirts designed and sold by over 2,500 pro wrestlers. By Lenny Bakken, certified financial planner. And by Powerbomb Pizza. Pizza crafted and sold by pro wrestlers. Powerbomb Pizza, powered by Kitsch Data.
We are broadcasting from the Blue Chew Studios. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code ARN at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. Hello and welcome to ARN. This is Paul Bromwell, and today I'm joined by the Hall of Famer, the founder of the Four Horsemen, the creator of the Spinebuster, the stopper of the best tag team of the television era, and a man who was the model, the Rome, Georgia fashion plate, if you will, long before Rick Martel with his signature beret, button, and arrogance. He's the enforcer. He's Double A, Arn Anderson. Arn, how are you today?
I'm digging that shirt, my man. Very nice.
For those that are audio only, I am wearing the Four Horsemen logo t-shirt, which you can find everywhere. But Arn, this is it, man. This is the logo. You own the Four Horsemen, and these t-shirts are now available to all our listeners.
Featured prominently, I hope, in the Horsemen store, right?
That's correct.
Box of Gimmicks.
Box of Gimmicks. I think adfreecares.com is another site you can check it out as well. And also, I know these are selling like hotcakes. You can find this for the merch for Ric Flair's Last Match. We'll get into that here in a minute. But again, multiple colors. I'm wearing the gray one, but you can pick your color of t-shirt that you want this logo on. But man, nothing like rocking that classic Four Horsemen logo, my friend.
It's like having an original Led Zeppelin t-shirt, man. Grown-ass men look at that and go, that's what I'm talking about.
That's right, buddy. When they see me, they just flick up the four fingers, man.
There you go.
So listen, I mentioned it, but before we get rolling this week, we're officially 2 weeks away from StarCast 5. We will be at what they've coined now, Arn. I don't know if you've heard this. They're calling it the Nashville Flair Grounds. It's July 29th through the 31st. And listen, they're partnering with Fight TV. You got New Japan Pro Wrestling's going to have a show. Black Label Pro Wrestling. You got GCW. You got the Four Horsemen. I mean, need I say more? David Crockett, Tony Schiavone, so many others. This StarCast promises to be the event of the summer. and the biggest one to date. And our boss, who, by the way, is the third most powerful man in all of wrestling, he isn't done. I keep seeing matches being added to Ric Flair's last match. Arn, you're a part of so many historic moments in Jim Crockett Promotions. What a throwback these 3 days of StarCast promised to be.
Well, yeah, and if you weren't around for the Crockett days and you're not familiar with them, you've got a ton of current talent. Once again, Conrad has over-delivered, as he always does. It's going to be, I would say, second to WrestleMania. It's probably one of the biggest events that there'll be this year. You know, certainly in the top three, you put StarCast in there with WrestleMania week, and then you got, WrestleCade?
Yeah, you got WrestleCade's a big one. WrestleCon, I know that's built around WrestleMania weekend, as you mentioned.
Huge.
But, dude, this is big time. I don't think we've ever seen it before where not only are you getting the meet and greets, but these stage shows, which has always been kind of a staple of a Conrad StarCast. So you're getting Bryan Danielson. You're getting, Claudio is going to be there. Paige is going to be there. But now he's bringing in other companies to do their own wrestling shows, like New Japan and others, all packed in to this one massive event, man. This is crazy.
Well, it is awesome, and I can't wait. It's going to be a hell of a weekend.
I can't wait to see you, man, because I'm going to be there helping out, so we'll be able to see each other. So I'm looking forward to that. But I know what our fans, the listeners of this show, are looking forward to. Not only do they get to see you, but they get to see Barry and Tully and Lex, Rick, JJ, all of you together for a live stage show, plus that photo opportunity, the meet and greet, all in front of that Jim Crockett Promotion studio, so that... I mean, come on, man. It don't get much better than getting your picture with all of you in front of that set, my friend.
Well, it will never be that group.
No.
Together. It's been the only time that we've ever all been together, this group of guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, with scheduling being what it is, it may be the last time you ever see that group. Probably will be. So, man, we look forward to everybody being there and just having a hell of a time.
Arn, before we get going, one final note. I've decided that our friend Amy Vaughn is now the first lady of the Arn Anderson fan club, and we will address her as such, by the way, going forward. She is such a Mets fan. She's going to be there, and she's such a fan of the Four Horsemen commemorative set that our friends at NWA Gold with you, Tully, Barry, Rick, and she has every intention, or so she says, of not feigning in line when you guys sign it for her in Nashville. So that's something else I'm looking forward to seeing take place. It's going to be a great time, buddy. Can't wait.
That's the perfect example, Amy, why I love doing this podcast, why I love doing signings. It's on a different personal level than just having a card and having a wrestling event. There's so many more opportunities to just say thank you to all our fans and, you know, just really have a personal moment with everybody. And that's what it's all about, really.
It is. It's all about that connection. So listen, now it's time to talk about what we're here and what our listeners want to listen to. And that's you talk about April 1989, an exciting, albeit very interesting month in the life of the Enforcer. One filled with travel, you got new opponents, tons of TV, and of course, your first and only WrestleMania match, Arn, as a talent. Are you ready to jump into April 1989?
Brother, you know I am.
All right, let's do it. Well, buddy, we start off the month hot. And I'm talking hot like we are now, the middle of July. But here we are. It's April. It's April 2nd. It's WrestleMania 5. This event takes place at Trump Plaza. It's an afternoon matinee, 18,946 fans, of which 17,500 paid. They packed the plaza for one of the most anticipated events of the year. After this long buildup, the mega powers exploded with Hogan taking the title from Savage in the main event of the evening. Savage wrestled with a staph infection in his elbow of all places and battled dehydration for the entire weekend. Even so, the match still went 18 minutes, and at the end of the main event, it was Hogan with the Winged Eagle and the pose down. And I got to talk to you about this, Arn. Randy had a number of amazing WrestleMania matches. You had Steamboat at WrestleMania 3. You had the tournament for the title at 4. You have this match at 5. The next year, he's working with the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. You have him at 7, the match with the Ultimate Warrior. And, of course, he takes the title from Nature Boy Ric Flair at 8. Before Shawn Michaels was Mr. WrestleMania, Randy freaking Savage was positioned for a show-stealing performance in every Mania he was booked. In your opinion, my friend, as an in-ring performer, because he is arguably the all-around best on the roster during your tenure there, what did you think of Macho Man in comparison to other talent you had seen with Jim Crockett and other territories?
Well, he's definitely a perfectionist. You know, I've never seen anybody as focused or driven, concentrating on business when he was at work. And Randy was one of those guys that understood early on the most important thing was to get the match over. Other than, you know, we always say, or I do anyway, somebody got to get over in every match. Well, Randy's goal was to get the match over, no matter who the opponent was. And, you know, everything from his costuming to his, the way he carried himself backstage, the way he carried him when that camera was on, everything, he was always on. If he was anywhere around the business end of what we're doing, Randy was 100% business. And, you know, he was an excellent worker. He could cater to anybody, any style. He knew his business, and he knew the business, and he was a real pro.
Man, you talked about getting over, always being on. And when I think about that, for me and my performance, I'm never going to be able to do that in the wrestling ring, but I can do it in one area of life, and that's in the bedroom, Arn Anderson. You know what I'm talking about? You know where I'm headed.
I blush every time you start this, in a good way.
Listen, men, if you want to play the part of Mr. WrestleMania, steal the show, and perform in a 5-star match, 7 if it's in the Tokyo Dome, you don't need a 6'7" jacked, tanned, oiled, and balding tag team partner with lust in his eyes. No, sir. You just need to make the hot tag the Blue Chew. And BlueChew.com is giving guys confidence all over the world. Isn't that right, Mr. Arn Anderson?
We always talk about guys that are a little bit older at this point in the show when we're putting over a Blue Chew accordingly. We should. I mean, the older guys, it's a lifesaver, but let me just give you a little food for thought. Say you're 30, 35, and you're still a beast. You're still, what can I say this, horny all the time? Now, you go ahead and add a Blue Chew into that. You are fixing to become a mammoth star, not only at home, probably in the neighborhood, certainly with all the ladies when they have their night out. That's somebody's right. Going to have to say, hey, I don't. Ladies, let me pass out these Blue Chews. You will be glad I did.
There you go. That's what it can do for you. Even if you're in your 30s and 35, you don't need to be just an animal. You can become a beast, as Arn said. And I'm telling you, Blue Chew, it's an online prescription. There's no weird visits to the doctor's office to have to look eye to eye with that doctor and say, I need help. And the doctor looks at you and says, help with what? And then you got to start talking that next line, that next sentence, and you feel your cheeks start to blush and your eyes look down because you don't want to make eye contact. No, there's no awkward conversations. You don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy. It ships right to your freaking door in a discreet package. You just go to BlueChew.com. You consult with one of their licensed medical providers, all done online. And once you're approved, that magic, beautiful blue pill will arrive at your door within days. And it's all done online. And if you don't want to swallow pills, buddy, there's no problem. They make them in chewable form, too. You can pop them right in right after you take your Flintstone vitamins, and they'll do the job. There's all kinds of reasons guys can't perform. We get in on our own heads. Sometimes it's age, as Arn mentioned, medical conditions. It could be stress and anxiety. Maybe we're just, you know, running that course. We're running our women ragged, and they're still begging for more. And we're like, where are we going to find it? Where are we going to get that energy? You tap into Blue Chew. That's what it's there for. They have chewables that you can find there, and it'll help you perform at your very best. So try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code ARN, those three magic letters, at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code ARN, to receive your first month free. I'm not making it up. Go to BlueChew.com for more details. Remember, the promo code is ARN, and you can find out all the safety info there.
It's a involuntary gung-ho. Not a Hogan ho, a gung ho.
Not a gung ho, and not a Hacksaw Jim Duggan ho. No, it's a gung ho. There you go.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Now, Arn, for your part, the Brainbusters wrestled Strikeforce. I know we kind of led off the show with what was happening there, WrestleMania, Hogan, etc. But you guys were in a match. It went about 10 minutes, and in a rare treat, we're going to watch the entire match together, me and you. Because, listen, this is the only WrestleMania match that you got to participate in, so we're going to do it. So I want you to just kind of walk us through it. You can chime in with your comments, insights as we watch this match together. Our first clip of the week is the longest, but buddy, this is what we owe you. This is our time together to watch your WrestleMania match with Strikeforce. Here we go.
This tag team contest is scheduled for one fall. Coming down the aisle with their manager, Bobby the Brain Heenan, at a total combined weight of 485 pounds. Here are Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson, the Brainbusters.
Two really tough dudes.
No music. You notice that?
I do. Now here come the Strikeforce with theirs. Listen. I'm going to turn it down here a little bit. We'll get back to Gorilla and Jesse. But you said it, and I wanted to go back to it. Because you think about the pageantry, the spectacle of WrestleMania. But you guys stayed true to who you were. No music. Man, and that's a hell of a walkway that you had to walk down there, too. That thing was no joke coming into that setting there.
All business. You know, the music was just one of those things. By not having it, and most people did, at that time, that alone made us a little different, you know?
It did. I love the drastic difference in the two entrances. By the way, as we watch this, Arn, just for your knowledge and bringing it back to memory, this is Rick Martel's first match in 8 months. He's coming back from an injury here, and it would be right here at WrestleMania.
He's a great babyface boy.
You guys all four in the ring. Well, when you have comments, just let me know. We'll mute it, but we'll listen to some of the commentary here as they hit you guys with the double drop kicks.
Well, and if you look at the timing, that was damn near exact. You know,
yeah.
Tito was one of those guys that was an all-around cowboy. He was just, put him in any scenario and he would excel. He was durable. He was dependable. Fantastic performer.
As we watch this together, maybe take us, if you can remember back to this day, what was it like for your first WrestleMania arriving in Atlantic City? Was it different behind the scenes at a WrestleMania than maybe what it was at other live events?
Oh, yeah. You could just tell the buildup on the days beforehand. There was a lot of media we had to do. And, you know, everywhere you went in Atlantic City was just covered with signs and posters and advertisements, you know, within a 6 or 7 square block radius. Everything on every pole was WrestleMania. You could just tell it was something special, something above board, and something that was not an everyday, just a packed house.
Do you remember any things like pre-parties, after-parties, anything that sticks out in your mind from this event here?
And it's going to sound a little lame, but not really. Barry Darso and his wife is, and my wife have been best friends going all the way back to the Crockett days. And they're still great friends today. And so Teresa and Aaron got to run around during the course of the day and really have fun. It was, you know, in those days we had to leave them home so much of the time, but we actually had some spare time. We went to the Pointer Sisters concert,
nice.
Which was pretty cool. The four of us, and you know, nobody bothered us. Everything was great. Had a couple of nice dinners, and it was just, you know, some time that we normally wouldn't get to spend. Double figure four right here. Look at the people. Look at the audience.
Yes, audience is big time into it. Both Strike Force members have you and Tully in figure fours. Bobby has a little bit of extra perm going on in his hair there, I noticed, for WrestleMania with his purple jacket on. Love Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Oh, he was great.
Referee Joey Morella. Fantastic referee. Gone from us way too soon.
Absolutely.
That's cool to hear, though, that you got to spend some time with your families. And this is 89 April. So was Brock born yet?
Oh, no. Just the oldest son, Barrett, was born.
Okay.
He would have been about, this was, what year was this?
April 89.
89, okay. He was born in 85.
Okay, so
November of 85, three or four.
So he was three. He's 3 years old. He'll be four in a few months.
Yeah, Grandma, we flew up to stay at the house and watch him.
There you go. Okay.
So Mama could have a weekend out. It was really, because in those days, it may not sound like much, but you never got to see your wife. You were gone all
I
the
bet
time.
You.
24 days a month, we were gone on the road.
You mentioned you hung out with Barry Darso, you and your wife. You guys went to see the Pointer Sisters. So what does Telly do in that situation? Is he doing his own thing or
yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, you got to pick spots to where you're away from each other when you were on the road as much as we were. And together, we were together 24 days a month.
Oh, yes. So now listen, as I said, this is the first time that Martel has wrestled in 8 months. So it's not like you guys were running house show loops with these guys prior to this match. So do you remember any pre-match planning that you did with Strike Force going into this?
We were just students of what everybody did. We knew what everybody did. We had a game plan. We were mostly going to show that coming back off of that layoff that they were a good team. They were polished. They had done their homework just as well, which we did in the early stages of the match. That dropkick series was almost flawless, and it's just because they were flawless workers. They really were.
I bet at this point, though, you would never thought, hey, this is the one and only WrestleMania that I'll ever be a part of in my career.
No, everything was going great at this point in time. You know, we were used well. This was our first WrestleMania. We didn't expect to be in the main event. You know, we were about halfway up the card or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You know, so everything was going as planned.
The build was on. We're gonna get to it in a couple of weeks because, you know, we all know that eventually you guys would take the tag team titles away from Demolition in that 2 out of 3 falls match. So you're definitely being positioned well since you've been with the company and here with another big-time match at WrestleMania. So look, Arn, you're going to the top rope, my friend. Now, you've told me about this before.
50%.
This was not good for you.
50% of the time, something bad's going to happen, and this was one of those 50%ers.
You're still 0-1,000,000 when it comes to going to the top rope, buddy.
Ouch.
You take the slam off the top rope here.
Oh, yeah.
You told me you didn't even like to leave your feet jumping into a pool before, so I knew that wasn't going to be good.
Yeah, well, hey, you get cocky, you want to go up and be a hot dog, that's what happens. Now, here's some of the story of the match.
That's right.
Tito's trying to tag. There was a collision earlier where Martel's kind of pissed at Tito, even though it wasn't his fault. So you can just see, you can start to feel a little bit of a rumble. Wrestling fans are very, very smart. They can sense when something is amiss. Okay, he just went the...
Look,
if you, I'm gone, I'm out of here.
And this is a big angle here at WrestleMania. This is the split, the demise of Strikeforce right in front of our eyes as part of WrestleMania.
He's leaving.
Rick Martel's out, leaving Tito all by himself. It's brilliantly done.
Look at Tully grinning. What an asshole.
There's Rene Goulet, I think, on the right
Sergeant
there.
Rene Goulet of the French Foreign Legion.
There he is.
Okay, still now, the heat is legal tags. We're tagging in and out legally.
Right.
Nobody there, Tito. Sorry, bud.
So this would be, Rick Martel was part of Can-Am Connection. He went on to do Strikeforce. But then it would eventually be, once this happens, by 1989 and late, when he would then adopt that model gimmick. Rick the Model Martel. So that's where that's all headed with him.
What a handsome guy, man. Good Lord. He pisses me off just looking at him.
Yeah, I mean, another genius gimmick. There it is, the spine on the pine. Arn Anderson delivering that move at WrestleMania.
And I bet you if we had the volume out, not one announcer knew what it was.
Oh,
a maneuver.
Well, I know. Jesse just always came up with something to describe it. There's Tully. He's shuffling and dancing and prancing around the ring. Throws Tito in.
Mr. Santana. Wow. Chico firing out of that corner. A couple of short right hands. They underestimated Tito. Well, it's a gallant effort, but one against two. Wow. Look out. Monkey flip dog.
Teamwork.
Tully Blanchard able to hold on. And Chico Santana.
I held him in the corner.
You
if
did.
If you couldn't see it. Yeah, he went for the monkey flip. I had a hold of the back of his tights. That's what allowed him to do the header. So I don't know if you could see that from the angle. But
And then here we go, buddy. You have him up. The spike pile driver, referee staring right at it. We've made a big deal about this in the past, that this was supposed to be illegal. But, buddy, at WrestleMania 5, it's not illegal, and you guys pick up the win.
I guess you get away with certain things.
Let's listen in to the big celebration. And that's it. It's over. There you go. The big win. And Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard get the victory at WrestleMania 5, man.
Was it the best match on the card? Was a decent story. It kick-started those guys, their own separate angle, and allowed Martel to move on as a heel, with which he did a good job. The model, like you said earlier, was a pretty good gimmick for him. He looked the part. He pulled it off, and it was a great moment for Tully and I getting a win at WrestleMania 5.
Well, listen, you know what? They made him the model, but Arn, there's something to be said. I don't think Vince was clearly not paying attention to your fashion sense when you were wrestling in JCP. I mean, we've watched you. You wore those pink polos, popped the collar, the white sunglasses, that platinum tan. I mean, that could have been Arn Anderson as the model.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I was a damn good-looking man. Nobody seemed to get that side of it. They were too busy worrying about the icy cold assassin.
They were enamored with your promos, and they forgot about the sex appeal.
Not once did I hear anybody say, "Well, that man's got some high model cheekbones," which I did. Nothing. Zero.
Lesson learned. He could have been the model, but he just stayed the enforcer. But he could have done it all. We talked about it, the spike pile driver, and it was always executed behind the ref's back. This one was done front and freaking center and the ref, and that was good. But overall, this match was about as much the Strikeforce splitting up as the wrestling. But again, this is your WrestleMania match. The next time we see you at a Mania in a Mania ring, Arn, 13 years later at the Sky Dome, when you hit The Undertaker with arguably the most famous spine buster of your career. How's that?
It's number one on the list.
It is.
It was. God, what a thrill. To be in the ring with Undertaker was just surreal. And such a pro, in every sense of the word. Probably the greatest gimmick there's ever been in the business.
Absolutely.
I don't know anything that would top it. And what rounded the whole thing out is he was such a professional, had so much respect from all the guys, and earned every bit of it. He was a performer. He was a guy that knew how to put a story together. He knew how to protect his gimmick. He knew how to protect his opponent. There's so many good things I could say about that guy. We probably would run out of time on the show, but I bet by then they had a name for it.
Oh, yeah. Right? I think they figured out what the name was by then, buddy.
Yeah, so everybody benefited. To be on any WrestleMania is a privilege and an honor. Back in those days, it was not a gimme. Everybody on the territory was not on WrestleMania. You kind of had to earn a spot on WrestleMania, and the guys, maybe you hadn't got there yet, like us. We hadn't, you know, by the time we wrestled this match, we weren't peaked. We hadn't peaked. You know, mm-hmm. We'd only been there a short time, and to be on that show was not lost on us. What a privilege it was.
There you go. And listen, buddy, we're 20-some minutes into the show, and this is just the first event we've covered in April, and we started with the peak at WrestleMania 5. So we're going to move on because 2 days later, it's April 4th, and you guys completed a grueling day of television tapings at the Civic Center in Glens Falls, New York. In the last match of that day, it wouldn't air until May 6th. That's just how it was back then with TV. And you and Tully defeated Gene Ligon and Mark Brown, winning the match in just over 2 minutes with the spike pile driver, which was completed behind the referee's back. As we have learned, behind the referee's back is very hashtag on brand for you guys. And then the following day, WWF recorded even more TV. This time, the venue is the War Memorial in Syracuse for primetime wrestling tapings. You and Tully worked against Brick Bronski and Terry Daniels. Oh, got to remember those big-time matches with Brick and Terry. You won the match by pinfall following the spike pile driver. Then, after the 2 days of television tapings, in typical WWF fashion following WrestleMania, the crew flew across the pond and worked the next several days all over Italy. The research provided to me by the guys at historyofwwe.com does not include you or Tully in any of the results. Do you know, Arn, if you and Tully were on this tour?
We're off.
Okay.
Which was really awesome because after we did the two TVs, we got to go home for a few days.
That's awesome.
And just kind of soak in the WrestleMania thing, you know. No, we were not on that tour. However, let me say that would have been one that I would have had no problem because in those days, the European tours were drawing and guys were making some
serious scratch,
serious coin.
Yeah, there you go.
I'd have been just fine. We're going to Europe.
But you at that point in your life, though, you know, the money's strong, but also like you just said, you guys never got any time off. So it's like, Which was fine with that too. You know?
I mean, hey, I was fine with that. I had a good week coming from WrestleMania week. I knew that. I knew that was going to be a nice payoff.
Do you remember your pay for that WrestleMania match? If you don't mind sharing, I'm just curious.
You know what? What's crazy? I don't. But I know okay. I know it was good.
Okay, I'm sure it was. But I'm always curious.
And for that time, you know, and again, this was in the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. Well, you guys would be back on April 8th. A previously recorded match would air on Wrestling Superstars. You and Tully won the enhancement match fairly quick, but fans were given a preview of who you guys would be working with all around the country on the house show loops coming up. And oh my, man, we've got the clip. This aired on Wrestling Superstars April 8th, 1989. Let's check it out together.
If they're facing only one individual, like they did with Tito Santana, against two, such as the Bushwhackers, they're going to have problems with Luke and Butch.
Whoa! Yay! Look, judges, the Brainbusters, they think they're better than anybody else.
And they say they're machines,
judges.
Let's see what they're like when we put them through the Bushwhackers, the rationing machine. Whoa!
Personally, I think Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson should not waste their great athletic ability on two characters like that.
Oh, really?
Well, I'll tell you what. Hey, McMahon, you got to admit something.
What?
After the huge victory in WrestleMania for the Brainbusters, now they definitely got to be considered top contenders for the Tag Team Championship.
Wait a minute, Jeffy. Huge victory? I mean, come on. It's not as if they were facing two men. They were scheduled to take on Strikeforce. It wound up with Santana 1-2.
Hey, McMahon, it doesn't matter. It goes down in the books as the Brainbusters over Strikeforce. That's how it's going to read in Tony's office.
Yes, I'll grant you that. And I take nothing away from the abilities of the Brainbusters. Ooh, look at that. And it's reversing things. Look at that maneuver. Nicely done. And it's charging in.
And hooking the ankle there. Double team effort. That's why they call it tag team wrestling, McMahon.
There was no tag there between the Busters. Referee's back is turned. Trying to maneuver Scott Casey out of the ring.
Wow. This one's over.
Yeah, well, the career of Omar Atlas could also be over after that. Here are your winners, the Brainbusters. All
right, buddy, here we go. It's time for your next feud, and it's with none other than the Bushwhackers. And we haven't spent a ton of time talking about the Bushwhackers, other than you admitted that being licked and all that was a little disturbing. But listen, I don't mean any disrespect to Luke and Butch, but listen, when you guys came to the WWF, I know you weren't hoping to get stuck or linked to all this gimmicky type stuff, because when they were the sheep herders prior to the WWF days, they were blood and guts, man. They were some fierce guys, but here they're characterized as more, you know, the lickable, goofy style wrestlers. What were your thoughts on all this and kind of them being up next for you and Tully?
Well, it was, and you had to understand the times. You know, we had been given a pretty good shove to that point. Those guys, I would imagine, sold a lot of merchandise. Kids loved them. That style that they developed to match the licking of the head and all that silly shit. It was what Vince wanted.
Comedy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Straight direction from Vince, what to do. Win, lose, it didn't matter. Matter of fact, an interesting side note, during this little angle that we were working with those guys, one of them got hurt. I don't know how, working with us and licking our head, how they must have got hurt. But he had to miss, you know, a couple of loops. So we wrestled him with the other one would wrestle him one night, and I can't remember which one got hurt, but Luke or Butch. But they weren't there. They didn't come on the road. They were healing up. So it was one of him, Bushwhackers, against two of us, one on the floor, and they beat us every night.
Oh, wow.
When you would have thought, what a great opportunity with the Brainbusters, got the momentum that they have
exactly
so far.
Right.
This is a great chance to pile it on. You got one guy legitimately out with an injury. Manipulate the referees, cause some confusions.
Add the heat.
And screw them.
Yeah, add the heat to you guys.
Beat us every night.
So,
and if you'd have went in and asked the guy, they would have looked at you like, what are you talking about? They didn't understand momentum. They never understood that they brought us in and started us completely over. Getting over, and we were over. We were on the day we walked in the door. We had just came off the damn run of all time, years as a horseman.
That's right.
And instead of starting over and doing shit like this, man, imagine if they'd have, you know, put their foot on the pedal. Hell, let us leave the guy laying, stretch him out.
That's right.
Do something to
made you even bigger assholes.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
but hey, you know, the fact is we went on, we had good matches with them, we tried to work to their style, we entertained the audience, and we did what we were asked, always, because I've always said, I didn't know you could say no.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And it's such a big transition, because think about it. We're coming off of months with you and the Rockers. I mean, that's Marty Jannetty, Shawn Michaels.
Exactly.
You know, and now all of a sudden you transition over to Strikeforce, they're the bridge. And right into this with a very unique
skill set, to say the least. Very different dynamic, a comedy act, and no fault of their own. Like you said, that was the hand they were dealt, and they ran with it. But to your point, just a completely different change in direction for you guys.
Well, and we love those guys. You know, it wasn't about that.
But yeah.
Been happy to put them over any day of the week, twice on Sunday, twice on Saturday. Wasn't about that. It's just business.
Yeah, it's just the change in philosophy on booking the two of you, you and Tully at this point is what stands out.
Who stood to benefit the most if we would have went another way?
Probably. That's right.
Momentum is everything in this business.
Well, we move on to the 15th of the month, and there's a promo with you and Tully and Bobby, and it aired on Superstars, and the three of you made your intentions very well known, and we have that promo, and we're going to check it out.
You know, from day one, when the Brainbusters stepped into the World Wrestling Federation, they have become undefeated. They've walked over everybody that's been thrown at them. Now all we ask is give us our World Championship match, and we'll prove ourselves.
You know, Bobby, when you come in, we came in at the bottom. There was only one way to go, and that was up. And all you told us to do was win matches. And that's all we've done. Every night we go into that ring, one, two, three, our hands go up. Someday soon, it's going to happen.
We view ourselves as businessmen. It was the greatest business transaction ever recorded. Being a part of the family, we've earned our way. We're going to continue to earn our way. And along the lines, Bobby, I promise you, we're going to earn a ton of money.
Like I said, just be yourselves.
And this is almost like, hey, whoever's booking or writing creative, whatever you're doing, this is a reminder of how we started, where we're going, and what we're here to do. I mean,
yeah. You know. And they had released, you know, they had released a little bit of the chokehold they had on us as far as promos. We had a little more input. We didn't have the time that I would liked, but
yeah.
But still, the content was, you know, all you can really do is complete one thought a piece. Make sure that Bobby talked because he had the heat, and we're off and running.
It's very similar to what you delivered to from Crockett in that it's business, money, and championships. Those are our priorities, and it always been for you and Tully Blanchard. And listen, as I said, the promo doesn't exactly match the upcoming creative that you guys are put in with the Bushwhackers over nearly every night on this loop. But I do have one more promo. It's only 30 seconds, and this time the three of you do address the Bushwhackers. This one was on Wrestling Challenge on April 23rd of 1989.
You take these Bushwhackers. They lick each other's heads. They got the whole crowd doing stuff like this. They're completely unorthodox. I have two people here that are orthodox.
Well, orthodox in one manner, but we can be the baddest, nastiest, backstabbingest men in professional wrestling. We are the consummate team.
The difference in the Bushwhackers and us, they got no order of priorities. We only got one priority. That's the WWF tag belts. If you want to be on the notch on the resume, that's fine with us.
So there it is, notch on the resume. So a few takeaways. Bobby's still one of the best ever. Tully never shied away from the mic. And you, sir, known for being able to take a thought and make it 3 minutes of intense believability, received a combined 60 seconds between both of these two promos that I just showed. Man, what would the harm be in giving the three of you more time to be able to create a unified, unrushed, believable message? I just, they were just missing the boat with you guys.
Well, they probably wanted us to get over, just not too over, because you have a little more power, you have a little more say-so.
Good point. Well, Arn, 1 week later, you guys are back in action on April 22nd, returning to a town you spent a lot of time in the place that shows its love by booing the likes of Santa Claus, and that's Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Only about an hour and 15 from my doorstep. 14,089 fans watched the Brainbusters work on the Hogan card, this time against the Bushwhackers. In a match third from the top, you and Tully lost when you were pinned. Let's all digest that, Arn Anderson fans. Okay. The following day from Philadelphia, you traveled to the Maple Leaf Gardens in Toronto in a sellout, 19,000 fans. You can't argue with how hot the WWF was back then. It's unbelievable. They watched a card that featured Hogan and Savage wrestling for the world title. This match did not go on last, however. No, sir. It was the Bushwhackers taking on the Brainbusters in the final match of the evening. This time, the Bushwhackers defeated you and Tully when Tully mistakenly dove on top of you, Arn, and Butch took advantage of the air and pinned you for the win. I'm not liking this month so far, Arn, outside of the WrestleMania match, okay?
It blows.
It does blow. Oh.
Why do we have to relive this?
I guess I don't know.
You have to understand the bad to appreciate the good.
There you go. I like it. That's a fairly creative way to ensure that the underdogs get the win in a match that many people may not have given the Bushwhackers a chance to win. And if you're the type of creative person who's always thinking about new business ideas or wondering, what's the next side hustle I should spin up? Well, here's a podcast recommendation for you. My First Million. The host, Sean Paree and Sam Parr, have each built eight-figure businesses and sold them to Amazon and HubSpot. Each week, they brainstorm business ideas you can start tomorrow. These can be side hustles that make you a few grand a month, a big billion-dollar idea, and anything in between. One episode I loved was number 158, where Sam and Sean explain how to make millions by buying Michael Jordan's house and turning it into a museum. If you love any of our business content we do on the show, I think you'd love this episode. They also chat with founders, celebrities, and billionaires and get them to open up about business ideas they've never shared before. Like, check out their conversation with Rob Dyrdek in episode 224, where you'll hear about a guy who has built a $400 million media empire who has been tracking every second of his day for the last decade. So make sure you check out My First Million. That's My First Million on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Arn, when we spoke about Canada previously, you said the differences between a place like Montreal and Toronto were palpable. Can you share with us some of your memories of working in Toronto, either as a talent or agent?
Well, Toronto's like New York City, without all that much traffic. But it's a renaissance city. It's very diverse. Ethnicity is one of everybody. You know, it's a huge blend of folks up there. But it's a upscale place. You wouldn't know the difference. You know, there's so many people speak English. And, you know, it's just a blend of everybody. And it's... there are a lot of great places to eat. Some of the best, believe it or not, some of the best Chinese food you will ever eat is Toronto. But it's kind of different. It's like it's an American city. It's a high, only way I can say it is an upscale American city.
Huh. Yeah, I've been a few times and I love it. Love every time I've been there. Great city, great food. And the times I've been there, it was for great wrestling action. And they are rabid fan. It's a rabid fan base. They love their pro wrestling. There's no doubt about it. And I'm looking forward to when AEW finally makes its way north of the border and gets up there. I'm sure it's just a matter of time. So.
And we will, for sure.
Yeah. Well, listen, from one sellout to the next, the WWF crew flew from Toronto to New York City, the world's most famous arena. And you told us about it. Quite possibly the dumpiest of arenas when it comes to trying to park and get around the city. But they had 16,000 fans come out that night on April 24th and watch you and Tully in a losing effort to the Bushwhackers. I'm really getting sick of this. Second from the top, the loss comes when Luke headbutts you in the midsection while you attempted a power slam Butch. And Arn, you won't believe it, but we have a clip from this match. And yes, sir, we have Angry Anthony and his lordship, Alfred Hayes, on the call. You know who Angry Anthony is, right?
I'm not sure. Who is
that? Oh, come on. Shivani. Here we go.
Oh, yes.
Listen.
That fits.
Yeah, here we go. Listen to him.
This matching contest is scheduled for one fall. In the ring to my right, at a total combined weight of 485 pounds, here are Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson.
By storm, Alfred. They really are.
Well, that has to hit me.
Blanchard. Cuts him off. And now he's got a chunk of a midsection here.
I think he's definitely having a little bite there at the stop of the Blanchard. Look, Blanchard wants out of the ring now.
Using his teeth, Luke, but Anderson cuts him off again. So far, you know, we've seen two completely different tag teams. Watch out. Blanchard on the outside. Two entirely different tag teams, and neither really able to get anything going, with the exception of using the post.
If there's a variance of style in a tag team match, I would say that this is the most variance there ever has been.
That's right. Tag is made. Blanchard back in. A lot of tagging back and forth from the Brainbusters.
Yes, they're wrestling completely orthodox, the way that tag teams should wrestle. And the Brainbusters are tremendously successful. They're right at the top of the division, of this most hotly contested division in tag team wrestling.
The tag is made. He used a left arm for a clothesline and knocked down Blanchard, makes the tag, and now Butcher's in. Sidney Tully Blanchard, shoulder first to the corner. Here's the cover. Anderson's in. Luke's in. All four men are in. Blanchard on the outside. Luke's with him. And in the inside, Butch and Arn. He got a knee. A cover. No double team. And a save from Tully Blanchard.
Now, as the Brainbusters throw Butch in, he ducks the first one by Terry Blanchard, but drops right into that clothesline by Arn Anderson.
And a save from Luke. Blanchard over, putting Luke down. Anderson raking Butch across the eyes. A headbutt to the midsection.
Immediate reaction, Arn.
That was rotten, obviously, but did you see the fan reaction?
Yeah, I know. You're right.
Which is all that you take home with you.
Yeah.
Had they not reacted, then it would have been really been the shits.
I mean, the paying audience was happy.
Yeah, and that's our job. And, that you know, the garden is not always real easy to get to elicit a reaction out of. So, you know, it's just was what it was.
Well, Arn, on this card, the main event of the, this particular card that night was Macho Man and Hulk Hogan, and Macho would win by countout when Sherry jumped on Hogan's back and kept him from getting in the ring. And I bring this up, Arn, because you worked closely with Sherry Martel during her days in WCW, specifically when she was with the Nature Boy. What a worker and a bump machine she was. But here she's with the Macho Man, and for me, they complemented each other so well, even though the package had always included Liz. What do you make of the Macho Man and Sherry pairing? For me, I just thought it was absolute gold, especially when they became the king and queen of WWF.
Well, I love Sherry Martel. Anybody that's a pro in this business respects and appreciates Sherry. She was a pro back in the day. I mean, she could work when the girls were just eye candy. She would splash you off the top, drop an elbow on you off the top, slap the shit out of you. And what a real lady she was, you know, when not performing in the ring. She was a great friend to have. All the guys respected her, appreciated her, and she was one of those unsung heroes that made that tandem of her and Savage so good. Yeah. Because she was more vicious than Randy was.
And she wasn't afraid to get in and mix it up with the boys, man.
You know? And get knocked on her ass for her trouble. You know, she was
gung-ho. She welcomed it. Yeah.
She was gung-ho, yeah. She was a real pro. And they were a hell of a package.
Absolutely. Thank you for your comments there. Arn, speaking of awesome pairings, do we have a partner for our listeners? This episode is brought to you by CarShield, who makes it easy and affordable to protect your car from expensive repairs. And that's just for starters. CarShield is the number one auto protection company in the U.S. and offers protection plans for around $100 a month. The plans cover more than ever before, whether your car has 5,000 or 150,000 miles on it. Let me tell you how simple it is to get your car fixed. When you need a repair, you choose the mechanic, and CarShield's administrators handle the rest. That's it. You don't have to deal with paperwork or headaches. You're taken care of. If something goes wrong with your car, it breaks down, you're stuck on the side of the road, they have plans as well that include coast-to-coast roadside assistance. You can't beat it. CarShield administrators are there for you with rental car options and trip reimbursement at no extra cost. Get coverage today, and you'll lock in your price right now, and it will never go up. That means as long as you own your car, no matter how old it is, you're protected from the rising costs, which we're all seeing nowadays, of parts and repairs for your vehicle. So CarShield will help protect your wallet just as they've protected my wallet from expensive repairs, and they can do it for you. So go to carshield.com/Arn to start your plan and lock in your pricing forever. That's carshield.com/Arn. A deductible may apply.
You know, if you live in this world, just to back up what you just said, during this pandemic and all the things that, the shortage of the microchips that go in the vehicles and shortage of the manufacturing, everything was shut down for so long. Your car, if you've got one, and I've got a BMW that I bought, Aaron knew, it's about 15 years old, but it's got less than 100,000 miles, they're worth money. And if you want to sell them, hey, you get a nice, chunk of change. But if you're not and you're going to keep it, CarShield's your way to go, man, because you might not have kept that car as long, but if you can put 200,000 miles on a vehicle and get your money's worth out of it, those cars go back down to where they should be. If you go try to buy a new car now, man, you look at the guy and the guy just said, well, this is what the sticker is, but we've got two people waiting that are willing to pay $10,000 more, just so you know.
Yeah.
Because we went through it.
And how about to be able to say, hey, listen, by the way, I had this thing protected by CarShield. That's something you can say when you want to go sell it. So check it out, carshield.com/Arn. They'll take care of you. Thank you, Arn, for chiming in on that. Great stuff.
You bet.
Listen, on April 24th, we continue WWF Recorded Wrestling Challenge, Primetime Wrestling, and an episode of Saturday night's main event that would air on May 27th. These tapings took place in Des Moines at the Veterans Auditorium. Arn, you and Telly did not wrestle for the syndicated television, but you did wrestle one of the most over acts in the company. Yes, the one that your buddy's a part of, the champs, Demolition. You and Telly picked up the win by DQ when a frustrated Axe illegally entered the ring, and the four of you brawled until Joey Morella tried to break up the brawl, and Axe pushed him to the canvas. After the match, both teams would brawl to the locker room. This is the second time you guys were able to wrestle Demolition, but this time it was on TV, buddy. Arn, when wrestling the top team in a top act like this, you said previously you and Telly treated them like the Road Warriors. This is TV, and more importantly, this is NBC, my friend. It's Dick Ebersol, and as Bruce taught us, and the shirt says it, Dick was everywhere, available at boxofgimmicks.com. This isn't a Blue Chew commercial. Serious business, though. This is a McMahon and Ebersol production where everything needs to be perfect. Can you share with our listeners about this sort of production versus production of Crockett or even syndicated TV? What was this like in comparison to previous tapings, considering all the big-time players?
So we're talking Saturday Night Main Event?
That's correct. Yes, sir.
In a league of its own. For some reason, I would have never dreamed Dick Ebersol knew who I was. But, brother, he was, at this point in time, he was right in the mix of pro football, WWE. I mean, he was the man, right? NBC was the head knocker. And for him to come up, stick out his hand, hey, man, I'm so glad you guys are here. Loved you guys, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. To me, I am not lost on the fact that that's Dick Ebersol.
Awesome.
And that guy knows who I am. He knows my history. He says he's proud to have us on his show. And, you know, the production on it was just, WWF had great production, clarity, how clear it was. The audio was so good, you know, every camera crisp. Angles, everything, crisp, you bet. And this was at another little level, a little bit higher, and it's on NBC. It's not on cable. Yeah. You were on network television on Saturday night. We were chomping at the bit to get on that show.
Man, that's so
everybody,
cool.
Everybody would have seen it.
Man,
the ratings were unheard of.
All the grandmoms and grandpas who didn't even have cable, they're watching Arn Anderson on NBC. You all had NBC. Everybody had the tinfoil rabbit ears, and that came in, you know? That's
yes,
big
sir.
Time, brother. That is big time.
Yes.
That's so cool, too, that Ebersol, he came over to you and just shook your hand. I mean, that is awesome.
Floored me.
Yeah, very cool. Listen, Arn, Athletic Greens, let's face it, this has been a stressful and taxing couple of days. And it always plays hell on the body when we start talking about these TV tapings. And there's no way that your body was performing at peak performance back in 1989. Just couldn't. But today, with our crazy schedules, you and I both benefit from AG1 by Athletic Greens. Arn, just one scoop, and it gives you 75 high-quality vitamins and minerals. I'm talking improving your gut health. I'm talking sleeping better, improving your focus. What's not to like? This is a slam dunk. You get better quality sleep and recovery. It costs less than $3 a day. It's completely worth the investment, and it's received 7,000 five-star reviews. So right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's one scoop and a cup of water every day. That cold ice water, that's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is also giving you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Arn, A-R-N. You guys know the letters. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/Arn to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily insurance. There you go. Arn, as we keep going here, as we start to wrap up the month, the next day from the sold-out Civic Auditorium in Omaha, Nebraska, 10,000 fans watched tapings of Superstars in primetime, and in a match that aired on May 15th edition of primetime, you and Tully defeated Coco Beware, the Birdman, and the Blue Blazer when you pinned the Blue Blazer after the Spike Piledriver from Omaha. All right, here you go. Let's jump on that airplane. You're flying to Portland, Maine, where you guys would wrestle the Bushwhackers at the Civic Center. This is 3,543 people on the 27th. You move on to the 28th, 8,000 more fans at Providence, Rhode Island at the Civic Center. The headliner that night was Jake the Snake Roberts versus the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. You guys would be second from the top, and you would lose your match to Luke and Butch. Just shaking my head.
Bullshit. And the hits,
yeah, bullshit. And the hits keep on coming. April 29th, you and Telly worked the Bushwhackers on the Hogan card at the Joe Louis Arena in Detroit. That night, 15,000 fans watch the two of you lose the match to the Bushwhackers. And we close out the month of April on the 30th, 8,300 fans. They would come to the Richfield Coliseum, where once again, you and Telly were on the card. It would be Hulk Hogan's main card. And he against Macho Man. Unfortunately, as before, you guys come up short against the Bushwhackers. Arn, I'm sick of reading that statement. Okay.
Well, it's obvious. I mean, you can beat us. It just don't take long.
The Bushwhackers were over, man. Just like we saw that Madison Square Garden clip. All the fans were doing the strut.
Let me correct one thing, because this is part of our terminology that most people don't understand the difference. They were popular. They were not over.
Yeah, that's good.
Because if you're over, you move to that top slot, and whoever your opponent is, you have that same 15,000, 14,000. It's a little tricky. Just by getting a great reaction doesn't mean that if you're the standalone main event, you're going to draw greatest support. Kids loved them. Over, not so sure about that.
Thank
but
you
that's
for
not a knock
that.
On those yeah. guys. It's just
not
a
at
different,
all.
difference in terminology.
They were popular.
Very popular. Kids loved them.
And kids loved them.
They were doing exactly what was asked by their boss, and the guy signs a check.
They're so popular, they made the WWE Hall of Fame on their popularity.
And they beat our ass every night.
And they beat your ass in April. They freaking beat you guys all the time. So listen, that's going to wrap up our coverage of April before you put your fist through the screen. And I say that you lost one more time. WrestleMania, you got the European tour. You're now working the loop with the Bushwhackers. Next week, we're going back to May 1989. We're going to watch at least part of the Saturday night's main event match with Demolition and the match with Coco and the Blazer that we talked about that was set up for May TV shows. It's going to be a great time, Arn. I'm looking forward to it, man.
Well, and you know, every night, just a side note, if you think it's tough being me, then I had to get in the rental car every night and drive to the next town or whatever we're doing with Tully going, this is bullshit.
I bet. Oh, I bet. Was he usually the one that was the first one to say it?
That is bullshit. Yeah, I mean, he would vent. I would drive. He would vent. I would drive. So.
Oh, that's good. I love it. Thank you for taking us behind the curtain. This is what we're here for, man. We want to hear those stories.
If you knew Tully and you know Tully, it's not a stretch.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good shit. Listen, Arn, this has been a lot of fun reliving it. We're going to jump into May next week, and we appreciate it, but we're getting there, man. I'm telling you, the months are coming quick where you guys are going to get your just due, and you're going to have those tags trapped. It's coming, man, and I can't wait to cover it.
Here's one little advice. Every now and then I like to give tidbits. April would have been tax time. Pay your quarterlies out there, youngins in the business. Do not hesitate to pay overpay because you do not want to get behind with the tax man.
There you go. And that, my friends, was free from Arn Anderson.
It's a freebie.
On behalf of the founder of the Four Horsemen, the WWE Hall of Famer, Arn Anderson. This is Paul Bromwell. We'll see you right back here next week on Arn.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.